Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. The New York City Department of Education has a plan to rezone two schools in the Dumbo, Vinegar Hill, Brooklyn Heights area of Brooklyn. It was supposed to be a common sense solution to a common problem, overcrowding. One school is overcrowded and one nearby has room to spare. So the Department of Ed is planning to redraw the map to balance out the number of students at each school. Sounds simple, right? Well, not so fast. It turns out the overcrowded school is predominantly white and high-performing, while the other is predominantly black and Latino with much lower test scores, so one school would become much more integrated with an influx of white students, and parents of students in both schools seem wary of the changes. Here with me now to talk about the collision of race and class, of overcrowding and segregation, of the low-income Farragut houses and the massively gentrifying Dumbo, of the public schools in an increasingly unequal Brooklyn, are WNYC education reporter Yasmeen Khan and Pamela Wheaton, the deputy director, project director, and managing editor for the website Inside Schools. Hi, Pamela. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
And hi, Yaz.
Hello.
And listeners, PS8 parents, PS307 parents, we will take your calls, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And just to clear something up here off the bat, is the city unveiling a rezoning plan tonight for these two schools, Yaz, to address desegregation or to ease the overcrowding at PS8 or both?
It's all about the numbers. So it's about easing overcrowding. A result of that would be to shift the demographics at one of the schools. So it would essentially integrate one of the schools, PS307. It now has it's about 90% black and Latino. Mostly students there qualify for free lunch, unlike PS8, which is mostly white, about 60% white. PS8 would get presumably whiter and wealthier under this rezoning proposal, and PS307 could see an increase of white families up to 45% of families could be white at that school when the rezoning is at scale.
So, Pamela, what's the reaction at PS307? Do the mostly black and Latino and poor parents from the Farragut houses not want this influx of wealthier and whiter students whose families tend to have higher test scores? Because I'll bet there's a lot of white people listening right now thinking, oh, this is going to be good for that school.
Well, I would have thought the same thing at one point, but no, the 307 parents are very skeptical. Why are we the only school? Look at this zone. How did this happen? Because if you look at the zone is tiny right now and completely surrounded by Brooklyn Heights and Dumbo, which before didn't have parents and now does with all the development. However, they're very suspicious that new parents will come in, take over, they like the way the school is going, many of them. They had a longtime principal who did a lot of good things to turn the school around and get it on a good path with introducing Mandarin, with a magnet grant for STEM. And they're saying, what's going to happen when these new parents come in? However, a bigger question is, will the new parents actually even come in?
Well, this plan is going to be unveiled tonight by the DOE. And then what? You expect the mostly white parents whose kids now go to PS8, some of whom might be rezoned to 307 in this integrated setting, to say, I'm not sending my kid there.
Oh, they're already doing that. Because with the way the kindergarten process works now in the city, you don't have to necessarily go to your zone school. You now apply to kindergarten. You can apply it to up to 12 schools. Roberta Davenport, the principal there, did a lot of work to recruit parents. And some come for pre-K. After pre-K, many leave because they find other options. And District 13, where this is located, and in that particular area, you have three or four high-performing charter schools and other schools of choice, which means they're not zoned, and a lot of the parents are voting with their feet. Then they're going to continue doing that.
Let's listen to a clip of a parent at PS307, the co-president of the PTA, expressing one facet of what concerns him and his fellow parents there.
in a black or poverty-stricken neighborhood, you feel that you always got the right answers, and you never ask the community what their needs are or ask them to be part of the decision-making. It's always the opposite way. Right. And why do you feel that you can come down here with a proposal and thought you were going to rush it through because we didn't matter?
I don't think that's Ben Green.
Uh-huh. He's the PTA co-president, and he's also on the Community Education Council, which is the group of parent leaders that actually vote on this proposal. So he's expressing what you touched on before, what Pamela was saying too, that a lot of the 307 parents feel that they are not being engaged in this process, that they're not participating in this process as the receiving school. They don't want to just be the solution to PS8's overcrowding. They have a lot of pride in what they've built at PS 307, and they're fearful that families could come in and maybe take over some of that ownership, or that some of these families that helped build the school would eventually get pushed out of the school entirely.
And I see we have the other co-president of the PTA of PS 307 calling in, and that's Faraji in Brooklyn. So, Faraji, thank you very much for calling, and you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. I'm a big fan of yours. I just wanted to quickly just clear the narrative that is not the conversation in which parents, the new parents coming in, are going to take over. How all of this came about was that the PS 307 community were not informed about the proposed zone. When the plan was actually put in place, neither of us parents actually understood or knew that these plans were being discussed. And it wasn't until that we interacted with the CEC that it was going to be proposed. So the PS 307 community wasn't brought in on the process, and they weren't discussed about how it's going to impact them. And so, of course, you're going to have parents who are coming up with their own narratives behind how it's going to impact them, mm-hmm. you know? So,
and, Faraji, I want to ask you a follow-up question in a minute,
sure.
But I have to say, for legal purposes, that this is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We're in New York and New Jersey Public Radio as we talk about the plan to be unveiled tonight in the Dumbo, Vinegar Hill, Brooklyn Heights section of Brooklyn to address overcrowding at PS8, the mostly white, fairly affluent community school, as more and more people move to Dumbo for the most part, and move some of those kids to a mostly black and Latino school near the Farragut Houses public housing complex, a little ways away that's not so crowded. And parents in both communities have concerns about this. We have the co-president of the PTA of PS 307, Faraji, as a caller right now. So, Faraji, it sounds like what I'm hearing from you, and correct me if I'm wrong, as our reporter guests were explaining it before, is that what the parents at 307 most object to is the process of not having been consulted and having this kind of imposed upon them by the DOE rather than being brought into the process from the beginning. Do you also have a concern that in some way the education of your kids is going to suffer?
Not at all, because the education of our kids are thriving. I mean, PS 307 is a STEM school. They have a Mandarin program, they have a health awareness program, and I promote these programs because my daughter benefits. You know, it's something to be said to actually listen to your daughter talk in Chinese or sing a song in a different language. That lets me know that there's progress. And you see these other children also doing the same. And let's, just get one thing clear, that because it's a magnet school, that means that anyone even outside the district of 13 can come in. That includes the Dumbo parents. That includes those who choose to be on a waiting list and also that are having grievances based on their need to try to get into the PSA school. And PS 307 has a lot of great programs and enrichment programs that can benefit everyone in the community. And it's just acknowledging that PS 307 is your neighborhood school. If Dumbo parents can buy a million-dollar home right across the street from the projects, then what's wrong with attending your neighborhood school that has enrichment programs, living environments, great kids, great teachers? And unless you have gone through those doors and literally had that experience for yourself, I mean, literally, that's what it is. It's rhetoric. Until you have gone through those doors and experienced it and had that experience, it's only rhetoric. And I just want to clarify the narrative that PS 307 is not this underperforming, undertested school. It's a very progressive school in its own right. And it needs its community, and it needs to acknowledge the equity that these Farragut community has. I mean, you're on hollow ground, if you really think about it. You have grandmothers who have went there. You have grandfathers that have gone there, aunts and uncles, and they all will tell you the same story, that I have a stake at the school. So we have to acknowledge that first before we decide to make decisions for a community that had no input.
And full disclosure, one of our producers is a parent in this zone, and she just said, I could agree on her behalf publicly with a lot of what you just said about the quality of education and facilities at 307. Her daughter just completed pre-K there. But Faraji, what would you say to white liberal parents living in Dumbo who are concerned about this rezoning and might say, look, I believe in integration and desegregation. I want my kids to go to a diverse school. What I don't want is them to go to a school where the test scores are really low, where the kids who are black and brown are coming mostly from poor families without a lot of education prep before they get to elementary school, and where, therefore, I'm concerned about the quality of the education that my kid can get in this environment, not because I don't want them with black and brown kids, but because of the problems that, you know, poor communities wind up with in public schools as reflected by test scores.
Well, I think liberal parents really have to ask themselves the true question. How liberal are you if you are involved in the opt-out movement that actually speaks out against, when you know that some of these test scores are biased and that you see that schools with majority of minority students do not fare well based on these test scores? That's what the whole opt-out movement is about, and they know that. And to look at the entire picture, if you are being progressive, right? If you're being progressive, look at what history has shown us. Like, look at the way that the school is actually drawn. I mean, it was drawn in a red line type of deal where you have a project school, right? 307, 287 was also drawn in the same way. Why was that? Let's do the history on that. Let's actually have the dialogue on who that affected and how it impacted the public school system here in New York City. New York City has the most segregated schools in America. Like, that is something to be said about that. So if you are progressive, let's not choose what we want to be progressive about. Let's actually roll our sleeves up and actually be ready to do the work. If you are talking about integrating a school, then do just that. Integrate the school. Learn about the programs. Walk through the doors. Talk to the teachers. Understand who your neighbors are. Meet your neighbors. It's simply putting out your hand. Hi, I'm Bobby. My name is Nancy. Does your child go to school here? What type of programs do they have? And these questions were not asked. Immediately, as soon as you think that there are poor kids in your classroom, you figure, oh, my child can't possibly learn anything in that class because this child may lack the capacity to learn. And that particular, those types of perceptions based on history has taught us that separate has never been equal.
Well, let me just say, I think Faraji is making a lot of good points. I think a lot of people share this feeling and this viewpoint. There are parents in Farragut houses and the projects across the street from the school that are also not choosing PS307. You walk around and you see kids in charter school uniforms. Or I talked to a mom who said that she also just heard that the test scores were low, so she decided to send her kids elsewhere. I think that, you know, in terms of engaging Dumbo parents and parents that are now in the PS8 zone that would be shifted to PS307, a lot of those parents feel the same way as the parents at PS307, that they haven't been part of the process either, that this is going really fast and that they haven't had a chance to even at least absorb what the DOE is rolling out, let alone be a part of the process to blend communities or to figure out where the line should be drawn.
So, Faraji, thank you very much for calling, and let's engage one of those Dumbo parents. Jim in Dumbo, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Well, one of the reasons that we moved to Dumbo, it was between Dumbo and Tribeca, was because of the school, the PS8 school. And we didn't want to come back and recreate what the school system is about. And certainly we wanted a diverse environment for our son. And that's what we are experiencing up on the hill. It's a wonderful school, and we haven't been let into the conversation. And aside from that, I mean, the reason that the real estate here is so high is because of that school. The same with Tribeca. It's very expensive there because of the wonderful school that they have.
It's true all over America, Pam.
Yeah.
Schools perceived as good drive real estate prices.
Exactly. And inside schools, what we do is visit schools all over the city. I've been in 307. I've been in PS8. I've seen the changes in both of them. I was in PS8 when it was 90% African-American and low income. And I've seen the changes there and the whole neighborhood changes. But we have put some suggestions out to the Department of Education, because when we visit, we don't just look at the test scores. And one of the suggestions is, please engage the community. Don't just send zoning officials from the Department of Education. Bring in people who are also going to talk about how you're going to help 307. How you're going to work to bring these two communities together, and bring in educators, not just experts in zoning.
So, Jim, hypothetically, if the DOE were to announce this rezoning plan tonight and it rezoned your child into PS307, what would you do?
Probably think about a private school. It's and it really is troublesome, because PSA is really a pretty good public school. And here,
you just heard our last caller. What is it that you would be afraid would happen to your kid in 307?
I think very much like the woman who had taken her child out of that school and put the child into a charter school, we would be afraid that the kids around wouldn't have that kind of preparedness that he is surrounded by now. And it really is that. I mean, I think the children moving to that school over here by the projects, it'll probably raise the children around that school to a higher higher level. However, that's not what we moved here to. But that's not what we bargained for when we moved here. We didn't think we were going to be rezoned like a voting district without even our knowledge.
Right.
So I think that we probably have to consider a public school or a charter school.
So let's make this a little bit of a parent-parent dialogue and bring our previous caller, Faraji, back in. I think he's still on hold. Faraji, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Brian.
Listen, Jim from Dumbo, meet Faraji from, I guess, Vinegar Hill.
How are you? I hear it kind of concerns me that the option to move, if he is zoned to 307, will be his first choice. Understand, I don't live in District 13. I came to that school because of the enrichment programs and the progress that I've seen with my daughter. I don't live in the projects, although I have family that live in the projects. I have a clear perspective of the city that I live in, and I live in Bed-Stuy. And I'm living in a neighborhood that is changing very quickly, and I'm seeing neighbors who have been in these, neighborhoods for decades, leaving, and having to leave because the pricing of housing has gone up, and basically cost of living has gone up. So, you know, my child, had I looked at that school and said, oh, the test scores are low, let me choose another school in my district, then, I could easily have done that. But it wasn't about the test scores. It was about the enrichment programs. It was about the level of teaching that was given to my child. I mean, the emotional and social understanding of how to engage with other children, right? And that is part of what they're doing. You're planting that seed in which you want your child to grow up to be part of the community, right? Not to be part of a social economic system as to if you're seeing another child that's poor, that you must be better than that child. No, we're teaching our children, or my child, to be a humanitarian, to be a diplomat, to be a person who can represent their community from every area of life.
And Faraji, I'm gonna jump in here for time and give Jim the next. That's okay. Give Jim the next say. I realize there's a lot to say and there's a lot of passion behind what you say. Jim, you're listening, right?
Yes, I am. Certainly, I understand all those points, and I think that diversity is part of the experience of living in the city. Period. However, I think it's how much you want your child to have already set in. I wouldn't want to reinvent the school system. We just selected an area that had a good school attached to it. And perhaps part of the well, we did come from Harlem as well, and he was in one of the ahead programs when he was four. So it was wonderful, but we, as we started making our way through the system, we're thinking about where's he going to go? And a lot of the kids in our neighborhood on 116th Street were going to charter schools. So it's like, well, let's look around for a school system that we won't have to do that, that it is a public school rather than a charter school. The other thing, I don't think it's been considered, there's a lot of building going up along the coast, on the right above, right below Washington Heights. I mean, I'm sorry, not Washington Heights.
in the Brooklyn waterfront.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Heights. And I think they're considering what that impact is going to be. They're building probably much more than over here in Dumbo. Dumbo, they weren't. It wasn't anything here not 30 years ago. It was just old factory buildings that were empty. And I don't think people thought that many people would come in with children and so forth. So it is something that evolved mm-hmm. without much foresight.
Jim, I'm gonna leave it there, and I appreciate you calling up and engaging. I really appreciate it. Good luck to you and your family. Faraji, I want to ask you one last thing, as co-president of the PTA at 307, do you is integration a goal for you? Looks like for the DOE, it's just to ease the overcrowding at PS8, and then the race and class question comes up because they would be easing the overcrowding by zoning more white kids into 307, which is predominantly Black and Latino now. But is this a goal for you? I mean, there's been reporting, on This American Life. I think I've been told that you're married to one of the reporters involved in that story, and elsewhere about the, the benefit to Black and Latino kids when it is an integrated environment. So
right.
is this a goal for you? Because we would get other callers who are Black who would say, I don't need white people to make my education good or my kids' education good. What I need is for the school system to take every single school in every single neighborhood equally seriously. But where are you on that, and where do you think this comes down as a factor or not for the PS307 population?
My goal is quality education for all. I don't care what's, you know, I lived in Portland, Oregon. I'm from the South. I'm from North Carolina. My dad is from rural Georgia. My mom is from Hillsborough, Alabama. I mean, my mom picked cotton. And, you know, I have family members who came up north from the Great Migration and had to deal with the onslaught of white flight. And, yes, you're right, my wife does report on these issues, but we've also have experienced them as well. And I'm for quality education. I think it's not enough to integrate institution. It's not enough to integrate the job. It's not enough to integrate the churches. You have to be integrated in your mind. You have to have that mentality to know that you have people that say, I don't see color. No, I don't see color. But you have the ones who have the courage to say, I see color, but I see opportunity. I see my neighbor. I see a friend. I see a family member. And I also grew up in the military. My dad was in the military for 20-plus years. And we grew up in an integrated neighborhood where we had – I went to the same schools as you know, the general. I went to the same schools as officers and their kids. And their kids were all nationalities and all backgrounds. And the thing about it is, when you have that perspective, your world is not flat. Your world is round. Mm-hmm. And just like you appreciate artwork and you appreciate the colors and shades and textures, you have to be able to appreciate that in humanity. And I think that our philosophies behind, you know, how much money we make and how where we live creates a marginal divide. Even how we worship is division, right? You have people in Muslim religions and Christian religions fighting for years and hundreds of centuries over something as simple as love your neighbor as you love yourself.
And Faraji, I apologize. I'm going to have to leave it there again because we're out of time for this segment. But I appreciate all your participation. And, of course, good luck to you and your family. Faraji, thanks a lot. And Pamela Wheaton from Inside Schools, just to wrap it up, this proposal for easing the overcrowding at PS8 in Dumbo gets officially unveiled tonight by the DOE. We see the race and class conversation that it has also sparked. What happens next?
Good question. There's 45 days, and then the CEC, the Parent Council, votes on it in November. I have no idea which way they're going to vote. I bet they don't know either. They may want to expand this conversation a little bit because, as Faraji mentioned briefly, there are three other schools right in that neighborhood that are also zoned almost entirely for housing projects, and no one's bringing those into this conversation. I also think the Department of Education needs to send, as we say in Inside Schools, needs to send in educators to talk to the community, put some focus groups together so people have buy-in. And so far, this administration has not been that open to the idea of integrating schools. We actually have a grant at Inside Schools. We're looking at integrated schools in segregated neighborhoods because it's all about segregated neighborhoods, too. So we'll be looking at those and giving recommendations.
And guess what, folks? With all the issues involved here and the significance, not just for Brooklyn Heights, Dumbo, and Vinegar Hill, but really for urban education almost everywhere, we're going to follow this situation pretty closely. And so after this segment that we just did, previewing the release of this DOE rezoning plan tonight, we're going to have another segment tomorrow for the day after it's actually been released, and then we will continue to follow this PS8 and PS307 situation and with spurs into some of the larger issues that it raises for other school districts as well. So Pamela Wheaton from InsideSchools.org and WNYC education reporter Yasmeen Khan, thank you both very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And callers, thanks again. Listeners, keep the conversation going on Twitter. So many people are tweeting at Brian Lehrer, reacting to our callers, reacting to the issues. Keep it going. Tweet at Brian Lehrer, and we'll come back to this on the air tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. A lot more to come today. Stay with us.